Good morning, church family.
Good morning.
I'm blessed. What about you?
Yes.
Oh, you don't sound convincing. I'm blessed. How about you?
I'm blessed too.
All right. Let the holy people say amen.
Amen.
Okay. Some of you don't feel very comfortable about being called holy, but it's God who does that. God is the one who calls us holy. And I believe He knows us better than anybody else, right?
Yes.
Holiness. As we have discussed before, it is the goal of every person who has been made in the image of God. If you look at the screen, you look at the text, it says like this, so God created you in His own image. So I like to say this again, so God created me in His own image. Why did God create me on His image? And the question for today is because He wants communion with me. That is the purpose why He created us on His image. Because everything that God does, He wants to relate to. He wants to be with Him one. And that's why when I read this text, that's why we put the title for our message today, Let us know the way to communion. Let us have a way to communion. And when God says, let us make humans, He says, this is the way I can have communion with them if I create them like us. Usually we relate a lot with people that look like us, talk like us, and sometimes have the same age as we have, or the same nationality. The more things in common that we have, the more the stronger is the possibility for us to have a communion, a relationship. Is that the case? And so that's exactly what God did. He says, I want to have communion with them, therefore I want to make them just like us. Okay? So throughout the whole message today, think about let us. In Hebrew, in the beginning, is used Elohim. Some of you may know what Elohim is, actually a plural for God. God will be El, but in this case, they have Elohim. Just like in English or in some other language, we use S to indicate plural. In Hebrew, we have I and M at the end. So Elohim, it makes sense to say Elohim, let us. But then it goes continue. It says He. So God is one, but three persons. So these three persons wants fellowship with us. Now, the title for our message today is The Way to Communion. What is the way?
Jesus.
The most common answer will be like my brother Jeff was saying, Jesus is the way. But how much do we understand what Jesus meant when He says, I am the way? So I hope you are on the way to understand what is the way. Genesis 1:26, it says, then God said, let us make human beings in our own image and likeness. And what He did immediately, go ahead, you can take the picture. So what He did immediately, He gave them power. They says, I want you to take care of creation. And if you continue reading that same verse, it says, He gave dominion for them to serve. Service is an act of communion. Service is an act of communion. Please don't forget this, because salvation relies on that attitude alone. God serves His creation in order to have communion with His creation. We must serve God in order to have communion with Him. We must serve each other in order to have communion. There is no communion without service. Okay? Let us have communion. What do you see in communion? You and I. Always. There is no communion with you and I. It has to be you and I always. And this is God telling us, you and I is what makes communion, is the way to have communion. There is no communion without you and I. Now, this is the same thing when God, the first institution that God established, marriage, he says there is no communion without you and I. And by the way, I don't mean to be, but I do appreciate if you please turn your phones, cell phones off, please. I appreciate it very much. It is a distraction that will affect our communion. Marriage is a communion. And there is no, in communion, there is no two eyes. It's not I and I. It's not Adam and Adam. It's not Eve and Eve. In order to have communion, it's you and I. That is the way God established. And anything else is not communion. Okay? And I know that some of you may wonder why is the pastor saying this? Because we have to. All right? Right in the beginning, Adam and Eve broke communion. They walk away from God. They commit. They accept the words, the advice of Satan, and broke communion from God. That's how sin came in. But then God said, "Don't worry, I'll provide the way back to communion. I will provide the way back to communion." And so he taught Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve practiced communion and taught their children how to practice communion. But sometimes children want to go on their own. You know, they have their own ideas, and sometimes it was not different from Cain and Abel. Now, I always, even though it spells different, I always think that Abel has to be Abel. And he was the Abel guy. And he did things the way that Abel people should do. And that's why his name Abel. But then came Cain. Now, what did Cain do? He decided to skip communion. How many people sometimes when they hear, "Oh, there's communion. Oh, I'm going to go to another church. I go to another place." Thank God that's not your case. But sometimes people skip communion. An example, Cain, he decided to skip communion. Why? Because he did not want God's way. When it talks about God's way, Cain said, "No way. No way." And Abel says, "Of course, I want the way." Now, one built an altar, another one built another altar, identical, okay? They have everything. So far, so good. They all been doing the right thing. But then Abel put a lamb. But Cain decided, "No way, I'm not going to put a..." He decided to bring his vegetables. But Abel said, "I'll take the way." See the difference? One decided to keep communion and offer his vegetables. And very nice carved and everything else. But Abel decides to serve the way because God said, "I am the way from the beginning." And they understood that that lamb was a symbol of Christ, the only way that makes possible communion. It's you and I. There's no other way. Now, baptism is also another symbol of communion. It's not possible to have communion without baptism. Now, what happens? What happens to marriage? Satan came and tried to redefine marriage. What comes to baptism? Do you know that right now among those that call themselves Christians, there are more than 14 types of baptisms. You go to some church, they take a little baby that doesn't know what is going on, and he sprinkles some water in their heads and says, "You are baptized." There are some churches, they baptize by the group. "You are baptized." There are people who are baptized with oil. There are people with water, salt, and other things. There are so many ways. But what does the Bible say? How many baptisms are there?
One.
Why so many? Because the enemy knows that if we distract you from the right communion, then I can break your communion. I can break your desire to be one with God. Baptism is a symbol also of communion. Jesus answered, I am the way. I am the truth. I am life. And then he said, the only way. The only way. Please, folks, keep this in mind, because if you are around other people that have other faith, and I don't mean any disrespect for any people who believes different, but what the Bible teaches is what the Bible teaches. I used to be going to a church who told me there is thousands of ways to go to heaven. One is Peter, another one is John, another John Paul, Teresa, and go on the list, one Guadalupe, and Aparecida, and Lourdes, and the list goes on and on and on. But I understand that even that the same creed that that church uses says this: I am the way. Can it be more clear? I am the way. I'm the only way. There is no other way. And some of you may come and become a good Seventh-day Adventist. And you may say, I am a fifth generation of Seventh-day Adventist. No, we're Seventh-day Adventist. I'm the seventh generation of a Seventh-day Adventist. I pay tithe. I give offerings. I support the church. And goes on. The list goes on and on. It's a very painful, because it's I, and goes. And the person doesn't realize that heaven is not for sale. You cannot buy friendship. You cannot buy fellowship. You cannot buy worship. You cannot buy discipleship. You cannot buy any of those things that you may think by money can buy. Communion is something that if you serve, you have communion. If you surrender, you keep. Whatever you give is multiplied to you. That is communion. That is the way and the only way we can have communion with God. Jesus Christ also says, those who eat my flesh and drink my blood. He didn't say those who eat any flesh or any blood. No, it's talk about him. He's the one. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood live in me, and I live in them. We have communion. That's how we can have communion. There's no other way. John 6:56. For a moment, I forgot that we have somebody online, so I need to mention the text. And again, always communion is you and I. Now another verse. For there is one God, and there is one, how many mediators?
One.
One between God and humans. Okay? The man, Christ Jesus. I was always wondering why Paul emphasized the man, Christ Jesus. By the way, that's not about his because he's masculine, no, okay? Please understand that. When he says the man, he says the one who took the uniform, the human uniform, who took the human nature, the one who became human in order to be our mediator. He is the mediator, and there is no other. Please understand, that is the only way we can have communion. Now, that's salvation. Salvation cannot be accomplished without the way. Anyone who believes and is baptized, that's Mark 16:16, will be saved. So to believe, to be baptized, is the process of being saved. And it says again, but anyone who refuses to believe, of course, the person who refuses to believe also will refuse to be baptized, because that's the step. And then what happens? Will be condemned. What is being condemned means? Will not keep your life. You lose your life. Because if you refuse the way, the truth, and life, then you will not have either the way, the truth, or life. And there will be no communion. Now, everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. This is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, 28 and 29. He says, for those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ, eat and drink judgment for themselves. We should never approach communion as just a ritual. So don't participate in communion just because you have to. You participate in communion because you approach a friend. You don't ask, why do I approach my friend? Because I love my friend. I want to have a communion with my friend. And that's why we celebrate communion. Also, thank God for his gift, for Christ's gift, that words cannot describe. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. That's a common English Bible. Now, brothers and sisters, it is time for us to take communion. Some people think that communion, and this is another thing that the evil one has done. You go to one particular church, they offer you the bread. You take the bread and wait for something else. This is it. Communion. Go ahead and sit down. That's communion. You go to another place, they offer you a piece of bread and some fermented wine. Interesting that they are very careful not to serve you a fermented bread, but they serve you the fermented wine. I asked one time a pastor, says, duh, I didn't say like that, please. I says, why do you serve unfermented bread, but a fermented, he says, I never thought about that. And many of them don't. They just are taught one way. Some of you can relate to that, that we are taught one way. We do things not because we really understand what we do. We just do it. And there are a lot of things that even we say without even thinking about. It is very important, brothers and sisters. There's three elements in communion. Communion is not two ceremonies. One, the foot washing, and then the one who bread. No, this is not communion. This is part of communion. A communion to be complete, there is no communion without service. Now, Jesus Christ did not establish communion with his disciples. Communion already existed from the beginning. Remember, the way was provided from the beginning. But Jesus came and gave more details about the communion. And the first and most important, when you read about what it took place in that upper room, it says that they made preparation. Jesus told them, go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover. So they have the tables, they have the utensils, they have a lamb over there. Yes, Jesus ate a lamb that day, okay, just for you to know. And I'm not here advertising eating meat, okay? But there was a lamb there, okay? There was a lamb there. And the lamb was there. The bread was there without leaven, okay? The wine was there unfermented, okay? Unfermented. New wine was there. And they supposed to have hired a servant because there was also the water for them to wash their hands and their feet. But they got in, they sat down, and let's eat. Have you seen people sometimes that they go straight to the table like there is no tomorrow? And sometimes the mom is the one who says, go wash your hands. Why do we wash our hands before we touch the food? Why do we wash our hands before we touch the food? to avoid contamination. What is fermentation? Is contamination already in process? That's what the symbol of fermentation, the Bible says, is a symbol of sin. So why do we clean our feet? Cleaner is a symbol of holiness. If we approach God that is holy, we must approach Him in holiness. And so there was no one there to wash their feet. So Jesus says, let me teach you the most important lesson about communion. And He took His, you know, not jacket, because He was not wearing a jacket, but He took whatever the, what they call, and He kneeled down. He poured the water. And the disciples, I can see them sitting there. And they look at each other. Okay. And Jesus washed one. Washed the other one. After He washed the third one, it was much easier for the other ones. Except for Peter. Oh, Peter. I'm a pastor for quite a few years, and I have met a lot of Peters. I had some Peters in my church sometimes. Don't you love Peter? He's the guy who always has to have something to say, no matter what. If things are great, he has something to say. If things are not great, he has something to say. If things are not, he has something to say, no matter what. And here comes Peter. No, 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 not me. I am the one supposed. How come now he came to that conclusion? How come when he did not in the beginning, when everybody looked around and says, what is missing? Oh, food washing. I don't know. Nobody said anything. Why didn't he stand up at that time? Now he wait. And now he wants to be the goody guy. No, not me. No, you are the master. You are the creator. You don't suppose he forgot that the Bible says, let us make them like us. That God wants fellowship, communion from the beginning. He always have and he always will, because that's part of his nature. And that's the same thing that he wants us to have, communion. And so he went and said, no, not me. But he said, if you do not have this, Peter, I do not wash you, you have no part with me. And you know what no part with me means, right? I said this many times here in this church. If I don't wash you, you have no communion with me. Oh, Peter says, no, oh, there's Peter again. Not just the feet, wash me all over. I want to be brand new, shiny. Here is the shiny Peter. And Jesus said, those that already have been baptized, you don't need to be baptized, only to wash your feet. What is the symbol of the washing feet? We all need God's grace daily. Even when we are trying to be as close to God as we can, we always get some dirt somewhere. We step where we're not supposed to step. We go where we're not supposed to go. We do things that we're not supposed to. And then we ask for forgiveness. And the foot washing is a symbol that to remove contamination before we come to the table. Let's have a communion, fellowship. Communion is fellowship. Christ's invitation to you and I is this. When he had finished washing their feet, the disciples' feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. No, they didn't have a clue. He asked them these questions. And then he continued by saying, you call me teacher and Lord, and here I am, a servant. I'm just serving you. Yes, I am. Rightly so, because I am so, for that is what I am. And then it continues by saying, Now that you, I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also maybe, if it's convenient, wash one another's feet. Is that the way the Bible says? You should. Those of you that have English as your first language know exactly what should means, right? It's not a condition. It's a must. And Jesus continued by saying, I have set you an example. And what do you do? You should do it. It's not because that's the way I have done for you. And it continues by saying, I tell you the truth. No servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, here again, three times he says this, you will be blessed if you do them. Now, brothers and sisters, don't you want to be blessed? Aren't you here because you're seeking blessings? So at this time, we'll be separating. There is this room here, it's called the multi-purpose room, is for the ladies.